You are listening to Mahogany Silver Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Hot Coffee, an interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has... Hot Coffee, an interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl one at the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs with her wholesome queen image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today. Tennessee's Whiskey, the number one bestseller by L. Loren. Single father Weston Daniels has built a nice life for himself and his five-year-old son. After escaping the nefarious family business, all he wants is the peace and quiet of the South and the occasional, no strings attached, roll in the hay. But destiny steps in when he meets an ebony beauty who bombards his bar. Grad student Patricia Woods is on the brink of homelessness and needs some quick cash to pay her overdue rent. A redneck bar named Whiskey's would do just the trick with its notorious bikers and flowing tips. However, when Weston's past catches up with him, he is faced with choosing between her life and the happiness he desires. Tennessee's Whiskey by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Well, hello, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silvering, and we have a very special episode tonight because normally we're on Thursdays, but this is something fun and cool I thought we would try. We are doing a live storytelling event. And so far, I see one caller who has called in. And I'm going to wait a few minutes to get some more people to call in. And then I will go ahead and let the author know and text them and see if they're online. So, caller number one, what is your name? Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Are you here? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you. I was asking, okay. Since you're our first caller, what's your name?
Oh, okay. Taryn.
Taryn. Okay. Well, welcome, Taryn, to our first ever live storytelling event. And I'm going to wait a few minutes for a couple more calls to come in. So just hang on, chill out, relax. I'm going to play some music and we'll be right back.
Okay.
All righty.
All around me.
Okay, we are back and haven't got any callers, but what we're going to go ahead and do is I've already sent a message out to the author, and they should be signing in pretty soon. So we have one caller who is Taryn. Taryn, you're still with us, right?
Yes, I am.
And it looks like our author has signed in. So let's see. Can you hear us? Hello. Our author for tonight, our mystery author, is Mr. Darcy. Mr. Darcy, can you hear us? Okay, we can't hear you. All right. Let's see. I'm going to cut the commercial real quick and we'll sort this out. an interracial erotic romance by best-selling author L. Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
voz y el estilo de Rymix. Desde San José del Vidrio, Estado de México. Y échale mundo.
Oye, mujer.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again. The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again. The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again. The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again. The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again. The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Like a moth to a flame, burned by the fire. My love is blind, can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes. Of Lucius Morningside, Book 2 of the Kenya Clark series by author Mahogany Silverain. Chaos has taken hold of the city of Atlanta. Children and teens are coming into powers they cannot control. The GBI paranormal unit cannot contain the situation. The cause of this chaos is Lucius Morningside, aka Lucifer, the devil himself. With his bloodline in Atlanta, he will stop at nothing to make this city his own, establishing himself as a high-powered attorney. Can Agents Kenya and Darren stop him and save the kids, or will Lucius win this round? Rise of Lucius Morningside, Book 2 of the Kenya Clark series, today.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silverain. MahoganySilverain.net. Okay, it took us some time. Welcome back, everybody. I think we got everybody on here now. So we have two callers, Taryn and Michelle. And we have our mystery author, Mr. Darcy.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so the topic is a paranormal erotic romance. And it needs to be a mythological creature.
Oh, God.
Interesting.
Do what?
So you have two names to choose from. You've got Taryn and you've got Michelle.
Right. So I've got to pick a mythological creature.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have an hour to think about it?
Yeah.
Oh, I can have an hour to think about it.
Or a magical creature.
I'm going to go for a magical creature. A minotaur. There you go.
Okay, that's the mythological creature.
Everyone knows what a minotaur is, so that's easy. So what's the next bit?
So you can include our two callers in the story. We have Taryn. Say hello. Taryn, you still with us?
Hey, I'm here. Sorry, I muted myself.
Oh, okay. And we have Michelle. Michelle, say hello.
Hello.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, so he's going to do a story about a minotaur. Okay.
Oh, that's just, I could just say the minotaur's walking around the forest. There you go. So it's got to be an erotic fantasy, paranormal fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put, I can only include one really. So
okay.
I'm going
to
pick Taryn. And Taryn's going to be, oh my God, what can Taryn be? A sorceress, how is that?
That works for me. Does that work for you, Taryn? Taryn?
Is she? I don't know. Is she still there?
I think her call got dropped. Okay.
So, I'm here.
So, do you want to use Michelle?
I'll use Michelle.
Okay.
Sorry, Michelle.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Taryn's back.
Oh, Taryn's back now. Oh, my word.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to let Michelle relax and go to Taryn. Taryn's going to be a sorceress then, if my call doesn't drop as well, so because, yeah. Hello, everyone.
Yes, you're here. We're still here.
Hello, and we're here.
We're all ears.
And his call dropped.
Are you seeing?
He should, he should not have said that, see, because he said, if my call doesn't drop.
And
it
did. And it dropped.
He jinxed it, bless him.
He jinxed it.
Bad juju.
Goodness.
Bad juju.
Ooh. But what do you
think? That's just a part of the story.
Yeah, that's just the. Yeah, see, there we go. Just say, Taryn, you used your sorcery to make him disappear, see, before we could even get started. See, I'm telling you. Were you scared of the Minotaur?
That's that magic. That's special magic.
She made him disappear.
And he's somewhere else on a continent, some other continent somewhere.
Well,
did
he
go
in
through
England,
the
book?
Did
so.
He go through the Karen? Did he go through the stones? Did you send him through the stones?
Yeah.
You sent him through the stones.
Right.
So he went back in time.
He went back in time. That's it. He's going to have to find his way back.
Yep, got to find his way
back.
So hopefully
funny.
He can reconnect in a few minutes here. Because I think he was into the story, so.
Yeah, it sounded like it very much.
Yeah, don't you just love his voice?
Oh, yeah, the accent.
Yeah, the British accent is
Yes.
For me.
It makes everything sound good. Like, you can say right? some crappy stuff and it sounds good.
You can speak bad English and it won't be bad English.
Right.
Wonderful. You know what? Who cares about technical difficulties? Just speak.
Yeah.
I know. So anything he says sounds great. So. But
no,
he does have, he is a romance author, and he has a book called Secrets from the Top, and it is Caroline's journal, The Beginning. So there will be a second book.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and he's got a great poem in the beginning of it. It is by, it's called The Time Is Now. And while he's trying to get back on, I'll just read if that's okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. The time was now. She stood lingering within the frame of the open wooden balcony door, her naked form exposed to the crisp, cool morning breeze, taking in the scene and the atmosphere. As her gaze wandered to the body that lay limp and exhausted in the disheveled sheets, from the night's rapturous entangling, she stood in admiration. After the many years of a fast-paced career, with all longing and desires tossed to the wayside, she had finally taken control of her lust-filled fantasies. It was now time for a new era. Passions will now be answered to, her gluttonous palate to be satiated. It was time to alleviate her hunger, for now she is the hunter. Delicately plucking her prey, she stood alone, and a smile formed on her swollen pink lips, plump from the insatiable appetite that the stranger in the bed possessed. Her mind lost in reverie as she lingered on the night before. She had taken what she wanted without regret, without hesitation. In a ravenous frenzy, she stood changed. For she had been ablaze at the idea of having him, tasting him, greedily consuming all of his body, everything he had to offer, and then some. It caused her thighs to quiver and her juices to seep. From the deep caverns between, she stood empowered. She had placed him on his knees, her hands entwined with the locks of his hair, positioning him before her as her aching, swollen lips glistened, beseeching him to sample her tangy flavors, causing him to salivate and beg for more. Recognize, acknowledge, appreciate. She stood awakened. By Robin Lee Ora. What do you think?
That sounds good.
I can't even answer that.
I need to go look at the book.
Okay. Where is this book?
This book is on Amazon.
I think I found it.
Okay.
Secrets by Mr. Darcy, yes.
And his name would be Mr. Darcy, right?
Right,
yes.
Mr. Darcy.
That is his pen name and his real name. And I have interviewed him on my show last year in December. No, I'm sorry. It was Thanksgiving weekend last year in November.
Wow.
Wow. Well, now you have to do a book called Adventures with Mr. Darcy.
I agree.
I have to do what now?
They're going
to
be good.
So I have to do what you said? I didn't understand. I didn't hear you.
I said you're going to have to write a book called Adventures with Mr. Darcy.
Yeah. That's going to be pretty good. I could do that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Really good.
I think your viewers would love that.
Yes. It could be like a part of your show, or a live, discussion on your show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's something intriguing about his prose. Do you understand what I'm saying, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It can't be just me.
No. No.
Okay. I don't want to be out on a limb by myself. I'm like, wait a minute.
No, you're not. You're not by yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm thinking there's something about that prose that's engaging.
Yes.
Yes.
And
that when,
oh.
when it hits your ear, you just automatically perk up.
Yes.
And
exactly.
That's the way it could be. Yeah.
And he writes some really steamy sex scenes in Secrets from the Top.
Thank you
the
for
elevator.
Putting it mildly.
Yes. The elevator scene. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, yeah, leave it. Don't tell me because I'm going to go on Amazon and get it.
So. Go get the book.
Yeah.
It's ebook. You can get
hardcover.
I'm
already skimming through Kindle trying to.
Yes.
Like, where is this book?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, just the scene that you read was,
mm-hmm.
you know, already had the visual for it as you're reading it. So
mm-hmm.
it's very intriguing. It's very serious. You're like, ooh, I need to know more. Like, I just need to know more. Like, that's not enough.
Wait a minute. Hang on. It's that wait a minute, pause, hang on a minute. Let me find
right.
that real quick. Yeah.
Right. It's like, I'm going to need you to flip back a I'm going to need you to flip back a few pages and let's start this again so I can get a full, full picture.
Because
right.
You had me in
here.
The first two sentences at hello.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I
you
like
want me to read
that.
Some more?
Yeah, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Which scene do you want to hear? Let's see.
As steamy as it gets.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I'll read you my favorite part. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to fall. Okay, mystery ball. Oh, yeah. Aha, I think I got it. Okay, so there at this masquerade ball, she's pretty much dancing with everyone she sees because she's on her new sexual awakening. She just wants to try any and everything. All the things that she ignored because of her career. So let's see. The doors closed, and they were alone. His room was right next to the elevator doors, so he knew when they got there it wasn't going to be long before he had her. He pressed the floor number, and they started moving. She wasn't going to wait. His zip was in her fingers, and as she opened it and pulled him out. She knew this was going to be very tight, but she didn't have a choice now. He lifted her and positioned her above him, and slowly lowered her down until the swollen head of his cock was pushing at her slick, moist lips. Her arms were around his neck, holding on. But what happened next, she didn't expect. He smiled at her and released the grip on her waist and dropped her down with desire and passion in his eyes. The sudden drop and the deep thrust inside made her scream and orgasm at the same time. She took most of him inside her in an instant. Her legs wrapped around him tightly now to stop her going even further down on him, but he wanted more, and he put her against the elevator wall and started to thrust deep into her. She lost count of how many orgasms were tearing through her as they were one after the other on the short ride up. The elevator stopped at his floor and the doors opened. He set her down and grabbed his key card. She knew just one step inside his room and she wasn't going to be coming out of there the same woman again. Now she would be the woman she had always wanted to be. What do you think?
Well, she's not going to leave the elevator being the same woman. Forget the room. I mean, like, already not going to be the same woman.
Well, I didn't describe.
You know, I didn't know what to iterate right there at that moment, but I'm thinking, how could she ever be the thing behind that anyway?
Right.
Right. Yeah, everything else is gravy after that. It's the elevator scene that changed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was already, I mean, wow. Anybody could have got on the elevator, but yes.
Yeah.
By the way, he is very large, so that's why she was like, okay, not all the way down.
Well, Miss Debutante. I can't imagine how. I bet her cheeks was as rosy as they wanted to be.
Mm-hmm, both sets.
Yeah.
I think both sets.
Yeah, both sets.
Well,
both sets.
Okay, you know what I meant, lady. I meant
that her.
I meant her cheeks on her face. But
well, both sets will do.
Okay, yeah, I walked into that one.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
I need my pants.
You need what now?
And I'm an old Southern debutante, so you know I have one. My goodness.
Yes. And it only gets better from there. It's lots of scenes. And it's not the same person. So she is really exploring, put it this way, sowing some wild oats. Because remember now, everything has been pushed into her career.
Right.
So she doesn't, so this is a woman exploring that side.
I like the way he does the character arc on this one, because
mm-hmm.
it's like she's into her career, she's strong. However, she doesn't realize that she's going to be my foregone conclusion. And I think that's where the enigmatic part of the story just really picks up the pace and goes for the gold.
Yes, because she's wearing this really like tight dress. That just reveals everything, even though she's wearing a dress. It leaves nothing to the imagination.
Yeah.
And one little thing, and it falls to the floor. So that's why she wasn't wearing anything underneath. That's why it was so easy.
Well,
to
she was prepared. It sounds like she was prepared.
She was prepared.
Yeah. She came prepared for battle. She came prepared for battle.
Right. Yes.
She was in battle dress uniform, whether she realized it or not.
Oh, yep. She was ready to go.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
There you go. I find that most intriguing. I really do.
But I will have to ask him again when I get a hold of him what the mentor story is going to be. So if I can get him to tell me over the phone. And I can record it, and then I'll play it on the air. How about that?
That would be really great and interesting, because that would pull everything together, the unanswered questions. It would thread the needle, so to speak.
Okay. So it would be you, Taryn. You're the sorceress and the minotaur.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm jealous she gets to be the sorceress and all.
She gets to be the sorceress.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how the story turns out now. The sorceress can be, you know.
Karen has all the power over all of us as the sorceress.
Well, maybe, but you never know.
You never know
how the story is going to.
I know. Believe me, I know. No, I just find it funny. I can't help but tease you about it.
So yeah, I think that would be really cool. So, you know, he's like walking, or maybe he's stalking the sorceress, and you know, he doesn't give her a chance to say anything.
Yeah,
or
maybe the sorceress is
stalking.
That's a
yeah, maybe she's stalking him.
You know how minotaurs are built. That chest, those muscles.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and they're mean. Yeah.
Just pick you up like you're a little rag doll. Just poof.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I
take me away. Take me away, please.
Yeah.
Take me away to your little cage, your labyrinth or whatever, and yes.
Yeah.
Take me to your lair.
take
That's
me
right,
to
your lair.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, take me to your lair.
Yeah.
I will go.
I will not fight.
Is it right?
Yeah, no.
You get
I'll
no argument
so
from me.
You won't have a struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. You will get no resistance here.
None.
Yeah, zero.
I know. I know. Total zero resistance on this side.
You never know. I might drag him. You know. I might drag him to the cave.
That's
like,
true.
Where you live?
You
okay, let's go.
Right.
I don't know
right?
what Karen's talking
yeah.
to me.
Magically
up
tie him up.
Any of us.
Exactly.
Yes.
Just have her way with him. See, there you go.
Mm-hmm. I might have him tied up in his own place.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh.
There you go.
You could not.
Yeah, he's pretty strong. So, yeah, you would have to definitely use magic. You would definitely have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it could
be big. So.
Because that's the only yeah. look. Double toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Okay, there you go. See,
we'll see what we come up with in this lair.
Right.
Well, you know, if he doesn't
yeah.
come up with something, then we definitely can.
Oh yeah,
we'll whip up Karen. We'll whip up something quick,
real quick.
He's real quick. He's the sorceress, but I'm the high priestess. We're going to work this out.
That's right. We're going to work this out.
You definitely going to work this out. So you will become the Minotaur's bride.
To his lair, but he doesn't know he's the real prisoner. You know,
okay.
Uh-huh.
He's really the prisoner.
We're going to take real good care of you.
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm just saying.
Yes.
Too funny.
I know that would be
yeah,
really
this
great.
Is turning out to be a great
okay.
story. I'm already enjoying it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be reading that story for the rest of the evening. Okay.
Right.
Download now.
Right.
I know. And see, I purposely picked paranormal because I asked him what type of, you know, he writes romance, but I said, have you ever written paranormal? So he said, no. I'm like, okay. Just give him a little challenge. So, but
so today
he
will.
I don't know, didn't he? Right? I said, are you sure?
You know, I'm part
that
terrible, so I'm all about the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He went right into that. So there was no problem.
No, straight into it. Full throttle.
Yeah, I was surprised by the choice, though. I you know, Minotaur is not really your typical, you know, magical game. You know, that's
yeah.
not the first
yeah,
one people
I
go
agree.
For.
Yeah,
so,
people like fairies or something else.
Vampires
or
wolves.
Vampires
or something
or
like that.
Werewolves.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, but nope. He went straight because I said mythological. I guess that's something that, you know, a legend or that people came up with.
Yeah.
So yeah, he went right to it. I was thinking like Pegasus or something. Or
mm-hmm.
Did you say Pegasus?
Yeah.
Girl?
She oh did. God. She did.
Well, there's
not
Pegasus.
Of
there's Centaur.
Okay. this is a little
Cyclops.
Dude, what was that?
This is a little Beowulf.
Little Beowulf. There we go. Yeah, this is more fantasy, I think, in the more vein of fantasy.
Completely. I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking Wolverine. I'm thinking other things like, you know, Game
yeah.
of Thrones, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Or what's the other one? Oh, of course, a little bit of Outlander.
Oh,
yeah.
No, he sounds more Outlander-ish to me.
Yeah, that's true.
He does.
Yeah, he's a little Jamie Fraser and Lord John mixed in together.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Karen, I can tell where you. I can tell you're on Stars, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
of course,
I mean,
Karen, yes.
Mahogany, you had us at the beginning of the story when you started narrating it, so there you go.
Right, there you go. I mean, it doesn't take much for me to get there, so I mean,
in other words, we're all in.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's right, we're all in.
Yeah, so we're in that set, okay? I really liked it. I liked the prose, the way he, the character arc was right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to wait or guess or whatever. You were just like, what? Okay, I'm there. And you can put yourself in that scene. Do you agree, Karen? You can put yourself in
absolutely.
That scene and feel it.
Yes.
You can just feel it. Okay, I'm so there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like I was saying, it's like you, the visual was already there, like immediately. You could see, you know, what was going on, you know, what she was feeling. You wanted to see and know more. You're like, that's why I was like, hey, back up a few pages.
Yeah.
Let's start to, you know.
Mahogany, slow that down.
Uh-huh. Slow that down.
I want to capture every second of that. Put that on rewind, please.
You want me to rewind? Okay.
Rewind.
All right. Let me back it up a bit. Let's see.
Yeah, that was a really delicious. It was decadent.
It was rich.
It was
very
rich. I mean, even though it was just a few passages, it was really, really rich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rich.
Well,
devil food rich. Yeah.
Devil food. Okay. Well, this is before they get to the elevator. So they're still at this masquerade ball. Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. He felt her shudder and kissed her more passionately. His arms wrapped around her, holding her tightly to make her feel safe and tamed all at once. Caroline knew it was futile to resist him, and she didn't want to at all. She had been thinking about this moment all day. It may not be the same guy from the store, but it didn't matter now. When they stopped kissing, he nibbled Caroline's lip gently as he pulled away from her, sparking a huge sigh and a sharp intake of breath from her. He spun her out of his grasp, but as he did so, his watch caught on the thin strap of her dress and cut it right through. She didn't flinch as it fell off her shoulder. She knew how tight the dress was, and it wasn't going anywhere. But it had just one strap which connected over her shoulders and around her neck to the other one. He grabbed the strap and removed it completely from the dress, leaving her breathless once again, as he had done so on many occasions already. He walked her to the back of the room and took her head in his hands and started to kiss her passionately once more. The lights were dimmer in the corners, and no one could see them apart from their shadows. Caroline's hands were all over him. She couldn't stop herself. As she made her way down to the bulge in his trousers, and she gasped as the bulge was now bigger and solid. She knew she couldn't and wasn't going to say no. That was the furthest word from her mind. She wanted to be taken. She wanted to feel those muscles around her, holding her, telling her what to do. She wanted him to be the man that her hands were exploring and feeling all over. She wanted to be thrown around the bedroom and fucked hard. She wanted it all and more. She undid his zipper and reached inside. The thickness was what she felt first. That's going to be all mine. Oh, my God, take me now. Just take me, she thought to herself as she continued to marvel at his size. He continued kissing her as her hands hit his cock, and it made him take a breath to steady himself as she pulled it free from his trousers. He didn't have to think about his next move. He stopped kissing her and looked straight into her eyes. With his palms moving up to Caroline's shoulders, he smiled and gave a gentle push down. She knew what he wanted, and when his push got harder, she wasn't going to stop him, so she dropped down. Once on her knees, she was faced with a very thick, massive, rock-solid cock. She didn't hesitate. She knew it was going to be a challenge, but one she was more than willing to accept. His head was moist to the touch and very large.
As she ran her tongue over it, she realized she had never had a partner so big before. She took a deep breath and had to open her mouth as wide as she could to force him into her mouth. She couldn't take him all in. He was too big. He was too wide, and her teeth gently ran around him as she started going to work on him. She was in a frenzy at this point, but she wasn't going to stop for anyone. Her head was going down at him as far as she could and as fast as she could. She wanted to have him lose control like he had made her lose it on the dance floor. She wanted to taste him as he came in her mouth, but he had other ideas. He was holding back. She felt like she had been down there for ages when he took his hands off her shoulders and lifted her. He slid his hands down and put himself away, and she was swimming in his eyes, running her hands all over his arms and chest. He knew he had control. He knew she couldn't resist him. He took her by the hand and went and grabbed their drinks. He looked at her and leaned in for the first time that night. He spoke to her in the most sensual voice she'd ever heard. "You need to finish your wine now, because we are leaving." She raised her glass to her mouth to meet his demand. She glanced around, and all the dance partners that she had been twirling on the floor with looked crestfallen. As they could see, they had lost out. None of them averted their eyes from her, and they were all still staring hard in her direction. She looked down, and now she could see that her dress slipped down from where she had been on her knees and was starting to reveal her chest. She went to adjust it, and he stopped her. "No need to worry about it, as you won't be in it for much longer." Caroline looked at him, a wide grin spreading along her lips, and she nodded. She set her glass down on the bar, and he followed suit, took her hand, and they started walking through the crowd to the main entrance of the ballroom. She was cautious, as she knew her dress was failing her. He caught her holding it and removed her hands away from it and put his mouth close to her ear. "Is the dress bothering you that much?" It was 2:30 a.m. and the place was still busy as could be. "Yes, it's failing and it will fall," she said, as she glanced around at the crowd. He took her hand again and they headed toward the doors of the elevator. "I'll help you out with it." Her shoes were shining in the lights and the eyes of the dragon glowed from the lighting of the ballroom. There was about 15 feet left to go between them and the doors of the elevator at the back of the hotel. They hadn't even made it that far. So that was right before the elevator scene. So how is that?
My first thought was, she gonna learn today. That was my first thought. Sorry.
I was thinking more along the lines of Medea. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He finally made it to the promised land, okay?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Both of us were just totally quiet as you read that whole, you
know. I know.
Yeah.
Taryn was typing back there. I could hear.
Did you hear it?
That's good. Are you typing down? She's writing.
Oh, no. I'm not writing his stuff down, though. But I had to stop.
I just took it all in.
I had to stop because certain points, because I was like, wait a minute, what?
Oh my God.
And I cleared my throat a few times because I thought I was going to choke because I was trying not to say anything.
I think we both were trying not to choke.
Right. Because
I know. Even I got messed up trying to read.
My God.
Let me stop.
You said he's what?
Like, how fast did your dress drop to the floor?
That's it.
I think the first part that got me was when you said his watch caught on the strap of her dress. And that's what I was like, oh.
What?
Okay, here we go.
That dress was practically glued on, so it was not going to stay.
Yeah, that dress.
You know, the least little thing, she was going to come out of that dress anyway. It was practically painted on.
she was the foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what you said.
There you go. Yes, what
yes,
she said.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But you notice that the author's prose, when he's explaining the character, the scene, and the character arcs,
mm-hmm.
remind me kind of D.H. Lawrence's, what was in the love story D.H. Lawrence did a while back? I'm having a total senior moment right now. Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, that
oh,
was a
yeah.
powerful story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a compliment.
Yes.
I haven't read that. I need to read that.
You've never
yes,
read
you
Lady
need
Chatter-
to read that one. Oh, that's
no,
a good
I haven't. I'm looking it up right now when you said that. I'm like,
Miss Karen, that was the first original Christian Grey
mm-hmm.
Lady Chatterley's
yeah, yes.
Lover.
Sure was.
That was the original 50 Shades of Grey.
And I think they also
wow.
made a movie about it, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How have I not heard of this? I don't understand. Where have I been?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm thinking. I don't understand this. Travesty.
Yeah, I read this book in my
20s.
Yeah.
Lady Chatterley's
uh-huh.
Lover was so scandalous when it came out, her Lady
yep.
Chatterley's Lover, that they had to sell it underground for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, back then there were no antitrust laws or anything like that back in the 1920s or whatever. When
right.
he wrote
yeah, 1928.
Yeah, when he wrote it. But that was a very, very powerful love story. And it was totally
it was.
Scandalous for the time.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like my kind of book. I'm going to have to go
again
immediately.
Girl.
Definitely.
I read the first, second, and third edition. all the movies
oh
that came
gosh.
Out, all of them. All of them.
Yeah.
They,
okay.
I mean, that I love. And this story, your author, to be that powerful
mm-hmm.
in his prose and his writing and his engagement, that says that speaks volumes to his
yes.
talent and his purpose, is what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying. Because to remind me of Lady Chatterley's Lover, you have to be a pretty good writer for that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So excellent. And this is his first book.
What?
Oh.
Yes,
oh.
this is his first book.
Should I be jealous?
Well, I'm already jealous, if that's the case.
Look, I'm just taking notes.
But, I mean, I haven't written a lot, so.
Okay, well.
It took me
yeah.
a moment to get to even this level.
Well,
wow.
I'll put it this way. I know this is no longer live because we just went off, but it's still recording. So what I'll do is edit this episode
okay.
and then I will add him actually telling the story. Okay, because I'll
okay.
call him and get him to tell me the story and record it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can add it to the show. So, and then I will upload it so that it'll be on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio Republic, and Google and Apple Podcasts. So that way everyone can enjoy it.
The lady
and I apologize for all the music playing, but we were really trying to get him on here. So
it's
he is still in England. So it was a issue of just trying to get, I guess, you know, get connected. So he stayed for a little while. So, but at least you know what he sounds like now.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, I mean, it was fun.
Yeah.
I'm still working, so it doesn't matter. You know, it didn't matter to me.
Well, I hope everyone that was listening tonight, and I hope that you enjoyed it, and I wish you a wonderful evening. And I wish you blessings, peace, and love.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.